Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our guest. And guess what, Bill?
What's that?
Happy anniversary, baby.
Uh-oh.
It's our 7th anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations to you. You're the one that's been so long-suffering putting up with me all these years.
Oh, and that's not suffering at all.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, William Hubbard, who is the author of many books on human resources, including the new battle over workplace privacy and including the medical privacy rule and on, and our original human resources expert. And, Bill, it's been a great 7 years. I've really enjoyed working with you and getting to know you.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does, doesn't it? But I was just telling the audience earlier about the kind of commitment that my Brain Trust members have to small business owners out there. And you're a classic. If I were holding up one person as an example of somebody who just continues to give back to the marketplace, continues to support small business owners en masse on this show and other venues and individually in your human resources consulting business and there in the Chicagoland area. And I just admire you a lot, Bill, for what you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the thought. And being a small business owner, I certainly know what each one of them are going through and certainly try to do what I can to help facilitate their role, and there's been a number of them that I have referred to this program and your website as a resource for information as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you know, Bill, I think that may be the thing about our Brain Trust. You, for example, and me, I mean, not all of us, but I'd say 90% of my Brain Trust either are small business owners or have been small business owners or grew up in a small business. And they understand what's happening in a small business, and they just have all this incredible empathy, if not immediate understanding of what people go through trying to make payroll and trying to find good employees and hire them and successfully and employ them successfully, which is an area that you focus on a lot, and one of the things that we have to do, Bill. This is the way you make your living, is we have to attend to the detail. Sometimes it's having employees is not just about finding them and putting them to work. Sometimes there's the paperwork that has to be dealt with too, doesn't it?
Well, there's the paperwork. There's so many different issues that impact the employment relationship, and this is one of the most changing areas that affects every organization, every firm, no matter whether you have one employee or 100. There are so many different issues that impact on your organization. There's new laws, there's new trends, there's new practices that occur, and it's good to stay on top of those areas.
Well, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is the employee handbook.
Mm-hmm.
I know you want to talk about updating the employee handbook, but that's presuming that we have one of those puppies.
Well, if you have one, I would say stay on top of it and keep it updated. If you're operating without one, it's kind of like, pardon the expression, driving with your pants down in a sense, in that you're opening yourself to some exposure in a lot of areas that potentially could create some problems for you.
Yeah, that exposure is not good there, Bill. Let's talk about some of the things that you think we should really focus on as we update our handbooks.
Well, there's a number of areas, and I think each one of these we've probably have talked about over the last year or so, but just to kind of recap on a lot of them, one of the biggest issues that most of the firms that I'm talking with are encountering some difficulty with is the employee use of email and the Internet. And it's a tremendous tool that we have that aids our communication, but it also creates an opportunity for employees to easily get diverted from the work at hand and get involved into either personal communications or sometimes personal shopping or investment handling or whatever they might do on the Internet but it pulls them sometimes away from the job. And one of the things is that a lot of employees say, oh, let's do this at work because the company system is faster than what I have at home. So there's a concern from the employer standpoint that here's a resource, we're providing it, but we need to make sure that it's being used properly so that the employee is not wasting company time.
Well, exactly. And so what do you tell them? How do you word that kind of language into an employee handbook?
Well, one of the things that we tell them is that this is, first of all, this is a company system. You're using it as part of your job. It should be used for business purposes. And then there's an important policy decision to be made here, and that's, do you want to consider or allow occasional personal incidental use, or do you want to make it strictly business?
For example, if they want to stay in on their lunch hour, would you let them go shopping on the internet using your equipment and your connection?
Exactly. That would be the distinction there. If it's strictly business, then we say no. But if we'll allow occasional personal use, then we say during non-working time, which would be like over the lunch period.
Of course, you know, if you're too strict, you know, they might not be able to buy you something over, you know, for your birthday or something like that. See.
Well, on those occasions, that can occur.
Well, you know, the other thing that happens is, as you know, Bill, when you visit these websites, sometimes you leave cookies.
Yes.
Or they leave cookies with you.
Right.
And so that could potentially increase the amount of spam that you get from different, you know. And of course you can't control where people go online, and because if you give them the opportunity, they're going to go wherever they want to go. But it does increase the potential load of email that might come back.
It certainly does, and there's so many sources that place those cookies on the site and start sending information back. And certainly we understand as a business owner that's part of a marketing activity, but we need to take steps to focus our employees on the work at hand and to try to avoid that because it could interfere with our system.
Well, there are a couple of things, it seems to me, with the internet, and you've talked about this before with us, and as you say, the use of the time, but also the potential exposure if somebody's visiting sites that they shouldn't be visiting, some of these pornographic sites, that kind of thing. Those things come back, and it could expose the company to some other issues, couldn't it?
If you got an employee who's looking at pornographic issues, or maybe even receiving or transmitting or selling this type of item, and there's a legal issue that comes up, the authorities can come in and take the evidence, which could be your system.
Bill, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Bill Hubbard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, and his new book is called The Medical Privacy Rule, and his website is Hubbard2B2T's.com. We'll be right back.
I spend a lot of money and I spend a lot of time.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend William Hubbard. Bill Hubbard is an original member of our Brain Trust. And Bill, when they go to your website, which, as I said earlier, is Hubbard.com, two B's, two T's. I know your website as well as you do. We've been doing this for so long.
Yes.
That's one of your websites. You actually have more than one. And what's the other one?
The other one is medicalprivacy.info, and this is the one that has all of the information on the medical privacy rule, the HIPAA security rule, and a number of resources there, including what I call a HIPAA security or HIPAA privacy store, HIPAA compliance store is actually the terminology, and then I have some web-based training available there as well, also that deals with the HIPAA issue.
All right. And the security law, the HIPAA security law, is going to go into effect in April, isn't it?
April of 2005, and firms that are subject to HIPAA are obligated to create security policies. Basically, this is making sure that your computer system procedures are proper and set up and that you've taken all the proper precautions to prevent any type of intrusion or unauthorized disclosure of information. One of the things that I've been advising clients and prospects as well is that the HIPAA security guideline really is a tremendous benchmark for anybody that has a computer in terms of creating a policy guideline to manage your data in your system properly and carefully.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Bill, things are so much more complicated today than they were years ago. We're talking about internet and email use policies and cell phone use policies. In the old days, all we had to do was say, you know, don't use the phone for personal business, and that was pretty much it. But now there's so many distractions with cell phones and Blackberries and beepers and the internet and email and IM and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different ways people can get distracted from their work these days, aren't there?
There's a whole host of new issues that when I write a policy manual, these are issues we never covered 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Absolutely. What are some other things, Bill, that we need to have in, as we update our employee handbook?
Well, you just mentioned the cell phone one, and having a policy on that is an important one in terms of employees receiving calls or making calls during work time, particularly if these are personal calls, since we just about everybody carries a personal cell phone on their person all day long. It's very possible that employees can be receiving personal calls, again, during work time, and this is going to be a distraction from the workplace.
Right.
So that is one issue. Another growing concern with that is the use of the cell phones with the video and the photographing, and mm-hmm. some clients are real concerned about
that's a real security issue, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. The privacy trade secret issue is significant as a key element of concern there. So define a policy, limit it to non-working time and non-working areas.
I mean, imagine if you're working on something that you think is going to be a trade secret. And I could see where you could say, you know, no cell phones allowed in this area.
One of my clients does government contract work, and he's ready to implement a policy that says you check it at the door.
Right.
When you come in, or you don't bring it into the facility.
Because, I mean, you could, who knows where something could be beamed out of, you know, and,
sure.
And once it goes out over the internet, it's not private anymore.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, what are some other things we need to do?
Driver's license checks. Well, a lot of your insurance companies are now running your employee drivers through the Department of Motor Vehicles, and if they're turning up a not necessarily a suspended, well, certainly a suspended license, but even a bad driving record that shows a history of several accidents going back several years, employers are now getting notices from their insurance carrier saying, we're not going to cover Joe Blow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to let your candidates know and your employees know. If you're driving on the job, number one, we need to make sure you have a current license, you have appropriate insurance coverage. The company will provide its coverage on its vehicles as appropriate, but if there's any change to these factors, let us know. And if we find out from our insurance carrier that you're not going to be covered, then we have to take another look at whether your job is going to involve operating a vehicle on the job.
Bill, this is off the topic just a little bit, maybe not as much as I think. I saw in a Kiplinger letter the other day that the people are going to be relying less on Social Security numbers for identification because they're concerned about those numbers getting out and people losing their identity, having their identity stolen. What do you know about that?
I'm not surprised. I'm kind of welcoming that idea. I haven't seen any specific stories that relate to that issue, but.
You know, we've all been branded with our Social Security number.
Yeah.
But now people are stealing those things left and right, and stealing our identity and our credit cards, access to our credit cards, and all that sort of thing.
A lot of candidates are real concerned about. I don't want to put this information in.
Right.
And I would certainly encourage employers to, if you're using employee number or employee identification, that's something that is going to be exposed to the public. Do not use a Social Security number. Come up with a different set of digits that will identify the employee, because otherwise this public disclosure of that number creates a real serious potential problem.
But then you've got to manage two numbers, because as you work with them with health care and things like that, you're probably going to wind up using the Social Security number, aren't you?
That's possible.
So it's really kind of a sticky wicket. This is an example of where crime has added another level of management to our day, isn't it?
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of like all the weird things on the internet and like terrorism. It's a wacky world we live in sometimes. Bill Hubbert, give us your website again, please.
Hubbert.com, and that's HUBBARTT. And be happy to respond to any preliminary questions and kind of solve a quick problem for you, courtesy of the Small Business Advocate.
Thank you, Bill, for that. I appreciate it. Happy anniversary, Bill. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Gene Grisman. Don't forget, it's President Lincoln's birthday tomorrow. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.